Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, I am so excited because I get to sit down with a dear friend of mine, Angela Armstrong, who is the president and founder of Prime Capital Group. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Lance, I am just as excited to be here with you. And you know, we're half an hour is not going to be enough for our conversation. So we'll get together after.
Yeah. So before we hit the record button, everybody, we just talked for like rattled nonstop for half an hour. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to capture some of that for the show here in the recording. And at the same time, not take too much time of yours, because I know we're getting at the end of the day and you have some places to go. But I really appreciate the fact that I get to sit down with you, because we've known each other for a decade or more, probably now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been really cool. So I've always have you in like the highest of highest regard. And you know this because I'm very vocal about that. And it's because I really respect what you've done from a business leader, you know, here in the Edmonton area. You're involved in so many things. You do so many amazing things and you run this incredible business. And so I'm just excited to get into some of your history that I probably don't know.
Well, thank you for saying all those kind things. And I hope I can satisfy you with something you don't know.
Okay, so right off the top, I always like to ask, what are three things that, in your opinion, every entrepreneur should know or should be doing?
You know what? I'm going to just go to my credo. And these are things that I probably have learned the hard way. You can go to school to learn things the easy way. I think entrepreneur is something that most of the real things that are of value, you learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Mine would be, number one, you can't do it alone. You are good at something. You are not good at everything. And you need to quickly identify what your highest and best use is, and then find people that their highest and best use is those things that aren't yours. Because they will add significant value, comfort, powerfulness to your organization. That's the number one thing. I think another one would be, your calendar is your friend. A lot of us, you know, I would say that my family have often said to me, well, I didn't want to bother you. I know you're busy. And that makes me feel terrible, because my family is an incredible priority for me, but the work is consuming. And one day I was talking to my team and they said the same thing to me. And they said, but your calendar is so full. And I said, I'm going to share a secret with you. And I shared my calendar with everybody on the team. I said, I calendarize everything, including personal breaks. I calendarize tasks that I need to do, so I don't have a calendar full of meetings and a task list, because you never get to the task list when your meeting calendar is full. Everything that I need to accomplish goes into the calendar, and then I can block it off. I've got a calendar link tool that allows other people to block time with me when they need it. And using the calendar as a way to manage people's need to interact with me, and for me to honor time for myself and my family as well, has been really many years and coming to a good way to manage that.
Just before you get onto the third one, I really like what you're talking about, just with regard to your calendar. You can't get to the tasks if your tasks aren't in your calendar, because your calendar gets consumed by meetings. And this is one of the things through COVID and the everybody, you know, jumping on the Zoom bandwagon is it used to be pre-COVID, we would have, you know, like meetings where we'd go to and then we'd come back to the office and there was like plenty of time in between meetings. Now it's just this back to back meetings, it seems like. And so you're right. Like, if you don't actually schedule task time into your calendar, it can be a complete disaster, because you are just going from meeting to meeting to meeting.
I think there was a tremendous amount of fatigue in two ways. I mean, who wants to look at themselves 24/7 on these calls? I know a guy with Microsoft and they said, you've got to find a way to turn your own camera off on a Teams meeting, because I want to focus on the other people, not kind of be casting glances at myself, which we all tend to do a little bit. But yeah, that managing things through my calendar. And it also, it was a lesson to me to say, I can't take that thing on unless I change something else.
Yeah.
So being really good at the arbitrage of time versus priorities to say, I can't just fill up all my time, but this is a priority. So if this is a priority, something else has got to give. And now I can be intentional about what that is.
I love that.
This summer, not doing a lot of networking events because I needed to spend some time on some health stuff. So yeah, that calendar management has been a lifesaver for me, literally.
Yeah. And I love what you were just saying about, because it goes back to, you know, that adage that so many people talk about is everything that you say yes to, you're saying no to everything else. Right. Yes. And so, yeah, it's really about setting those priorities. And so if you're just using one thing, your calendar, to slot everything in, it's really easy then to be able to be like, no, that ain't priority. We need to switch that around a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So number three
is your health and your wellness are everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had a situation this year where I needed to get a surgery done for something that had been kind of creeping up. I had a hip replacement, and but it had been a problem for all of COVID, and it was getting to the point where my health was actually, you know, my ability to do anything was compromised. I couldn't travel for business comfortably. I couldn't go for a walk with my dog and my husband, which we love to do. And I kept putting that off because, well, the business. And finally, I sat down with my team and said, I need to take care of this. I was not shocked because I don't think they're compassionate people, but I realized that all of my fear about putting this priority, this health priority for myself to say, I need a couple weeks off to go and get this done and start my recovery. And they're like, yeah, of course you do. And I was, I realized in that moment that I am the worst. I'm my own worst advocate. So in the keeping in mind the mindfulness of this calendar and saying, I put calendarized rehab moments throughout my day, and I respect them. Mm. Like I say, I'm sorry, I've got another meeting to go to. That's me going off into the back room to do my exercises. So I do them 3 times a day to get my health back.
Yeah.
But to recognize that it can't just be lip service. I can't say I want my team to be healthy, but show them someone who's putting their health last because the business priority always seems more urgent. It's important, but your health is more urgent. So that's something that I think I give more and more thought to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had some other guests on here too, who are in a little bit more of the health space. And one of the things that they mention is just we can't function and put everything into our business in the time that we need to be focused in the business if, you know, we're not healthy from the inside out, right? And that's mentally, but that's also physically. It's diet, it's exercise, it's everything else. And so when you listen to some of the talks that I've heard, you know, other really high performing executives give, it's amazing the regimen that they keep from a health standpoint that is such a core part of I guess their day to day. So their rhythm that really keeps them functioning well at work. And that's something that I think it's really easy as entrepreneurs to let that slide, because, you know, it's just like busy. You don't get up from your desk as much as what you should. You're not taking those breaks as much because it's just like you have so many people coming at you with so many different requests.
One of my favorite things, we talked very briefly, and I'll probably only say it the once, about the C word, COVID. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite outcomes from COVID was having people say, oh, we can't go meet for a coffee. We can't meet for lunch. Let's have a walking meeting.
Yes.
And I just reveled in those. I met with people that perhaps I would have phone calls with, or I would get together on a some kind of a video chat. But to be able to have a walk, because you expand beyond the purely business and you get this amazing connection with a person, you're getting the benefit of fresh air and sunshine. Most of those meetings happen during the day. And even in the winter, I would always find somebody who's willing to put on their snow coat and a pair of boots and let's go for a walk in the local ravine. Or it was just really wonderful how people were willing to pivot. And I'm a little bit sad that now we're busy and we're going places again and we can go back to the normal things. And I hope people keep in mind that some of these things are actually probably very healthy strategies to keep incorporated.
Yeah. So have you been able to keep some of that then? Like, are you intentional about doing those walking meetings still?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that's became a challenge for me before my surgery, like a month ago. So I am really eager to get back to that. And often, at least on the weekends before, that would be always a way I got together with my friends and say, let's go meet at the dog park and go for a long walk. And you get to spend an hour with a friend and you go back. Your heart, your cup is filled, your heart is filled. Yeah. You've had a great conversation. You know, this movement is medicine ethos is so true. And the people that I know, that I see, I observe, they feel to me like they're the happiest and healthiest are people that you can tell that they make action and happiness, enjoyment it's a goal. It's an objective in their life. They build it in very intentionally. So I try to surround myself with those kind of people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I there's one person who's really coming to my mind that we both really enjoy.
Both know, yeah.
Catherine. Yeah. So
one of my best friends, and there's a good reason for that.
Exactly. So I'm really curious if you could walk us through what your daily routine is, just because we're on this topic of the calendar and health and just trying to navigate through that as an entrepreneur. And you have been, you know, such a force, I think, in terms of entrepreneurship here in the city. And like I said, leadership and so on, and involved with so many things. I'm curious, what does your mornings look like? And how do you set your day up for success?
Mornings before 2020 were a little bit different, where, you know, you're often up early for a networking meeting. I do a lot of breakfast meetings. I find lunch meetings take a lot of time. You know, it's a tougher commute. I love breakfast meetings. It gets you up and on your game quickly. And I've just started that again now that everyone is feeling a little more comfortable doing that.
Yep.
But I really love to get up and go for a walk with my husband and enjoy, especially, I mean, we've had a beautiful summer. And getting up in the morning when the sun is coming up and going out for a walk with our dog and just having conversations about our family, our plans, just about the world. It's a really great way to kind of kickstart that and share a little bit of time with him. My days can be long, not just with the business. Always, of course, with the business, there are a lot of demands when your business is growing quickly. But and I'm blessed that ours is. But even the evening events, networking events, board meetings, those all tend to happen. A lot of those things happen in the evening. So I've found that I've got to really guard that early morning or times, at least a few times a week, that early morning for doing exercise at home or going for a walk, getting that day started right. I always try to eat a good breakfast. I can't get through my day without starting that. And then beyond that, it might be looking through notes. I might scroll through some of our social media. I might read posts from other people. Sometimes I'm looking, reading articles that I really think are valuable to share. A little bit of that. And then a little bit of personal affirmation, where I will kind of look at the priorities in our business and check in and say, do the things that I have scheduled today, and I'm getting much tougher on this line in the sand that I'm drawing. Do the things that I have scheduled today, are they going to serve the priorities that I have today? And sometimes I have found myself begging off on meetings and saying, I really apologize. I do want to have this meeting. I get asked for a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
And I have to now be very intentional and say, I'm really sorry, but I have an urgent priority. It could be around staff. It could be around clients. It could be around business priorities, or maybe it's even a family thing that needs to be attended to, or a board issue, something comes up. But really saying, I feel I'm giving myself more permission now than I ever did 20 years ago, say, to say no to things. I say no far more than I say yes now. And I reward myself when I say no, just put a little check on a box and say, that's good. Now I have to practice it, because you do have to practice saying no. Saying yes is reactive. You have to think about saying no and be purposeful about which ones you want to do. And sometimes it even comes across a little bit harsh to say, what's the intention or what's the agenda you're hoping to put forward in this conversation? Because if it does, if it serves you, I could choose to give you my time, but I'm not obliged to. And I think that was, I took way too long to learn that lesson. I think it was Adam Grant. I've been listening to a little bit of Adam Grant, and I love his Work Life podcast, where he says, you have to respect yourself as much as you respect others around you. So quite often I will say yes to things, but that discipline of looking at my day and saying, this is an urgent priority. So is my health. So is my sleep. So is respecting my family and doing things at the end of the day. So this thing, I might need to call that person and say, I'd really like to do this, but I need to reschedule it for a time period in the future. And I find most people really understanding of that, especially if you explain the context. But even saying no up front and being very honest about that has turned out to be powerful. So I use that early morning time to set my day, set the intentions, the priorities for the day. I always know what's going on. It's rare that I miss something, and something I missed the other day, it wasn't in my calendar. Yeah. And the gal called and said, I thought you were going to come to this event. And I said, wasn't in my calendar. If it's not in my calendar, I don't do it. Even my personal life. We have a family calendar as well. Yeah. This is totally a great app called the Cozy app. And everybody in my family has it on their phone, and we can set family events and there's reminders. And so we don't miss things. And we can be intentional with our time. We have I've come to fall in love with this app because I've got my business life, and then family has one as well. Maybe other people have always had that. I just discovered it. So it's fun for me.
So
other than that, it's just about being healthy and going through the priorities that I set in the day.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I always struggle with is, setting those priorities and going, okay, well, what is it that's, on this task list of things, and it's a never ending task list, because there's never ending requests, it seems like, when you're trying to preside over a company. But which ones are the most important that are going to drive the business forward? And really identifying those, taking that time, being intentional about then spending your time on tackling those bigger ones or most important in terms of the return you're going to get out of it. And that I always find to be almost like, sometimes it feels a little callous at times, because you do have to say no to some things that you normally would have been saying yes to. And I struggle, man, do I struggle with that. And I also struggle a lot with, if there's like five little tasks and there's like a bunch of like bigger tasks, there's some people that'll say, well, just bang off the five little ones so you can get the momentum, or a few little ones and then get going. And I get caught in the little ones, because it's like, I don't have a big enough time block sometimes to just like really apply the deep thinking that I need for the bigger, more complex item. And so then that bigger, more complex item, which is probably the highest value one, gets kicked down the road a little bit farther. And I'm just horrible at that. Do you struggle with the same thing, or do you have some tools or some methodology that you apply that saves you from that curse?
I wish I could say I didn't struggle with that, Lance, but that would be a bald lie. Similar. So yeah. I think we all get stuck in the minutia. Yeah. I'm fortunate that I'm not a good multitasker. When my kids were little and I would be doing, I was working at home when they were small, and they're talking in my ear, they get home from school, they're excited, and I would just say to them, I need 2 minutes.
Yeah,
because I can't shift my brain. I'm just not good at that. And I think I read an article or something about monotasking versus multitasking. For me, location makes a big difference. So for me, the thing that moved the rock, the big rocks that make a significant long-term difference in our business, those strategic priorities, that's my highest and best use in the business.
Yep.
I have lots of people that I can trust to move task or operational issues along if we've decided on, you know, what the problem is we're trying to solve and guidelines for doing that. They can go ahead and, you know, peck away at that. And we've implemented a kind of a business improvement, call it a committee, but a task force that's a few people in our team that we say, okay, this is something that I've noticed and I would like to change in our business. And now we have this meeting once a month, say, or once every 2 months, depending on the frequency of the issues that might be outside of our strategic priorities that we've identified. I talked to you about our 90-day sprint planning that we do. It might fall in between that, but it's something that I want to get on the table because I need a stakeholder group around the meeting room. Those things take time and space. And I find I do those better in a different location. If I'm at the office and there's people to interact with and I am seeing emails pop up, thank goodness Microsoft always lets me know when something new is going on. And there's a Teams, you know, Bing, and there's sounds. And I find those things very distracting and I can't really become disciplined and focused in my the big picture thinking, which is what I used to do when I would travel. I get on a plane, 3-4 hours on that plane, uninterrupted focus time. Nobody can email me. It's terrible to say you have to go on a plane to create that. But with COVID and working from home, we were able to do that, to create this differential space that I think differently in. So I think I think it's about finding what works for you and a lot of experimentation to get to that. Some people time block and they have a little timer on their desk. We started using these time cubes. You can't really see it very well in the way to the camera. These little sides on it with stickers, and it comes with all these different stickers. This is a phenomenal thing. It connects with an app that goes on your phone. We were trying to figure out what is our team spending time on, and try to understand if there's something that is taking a lot of their day-to-day time. This is, you know, like lawyers track their minutes. We track our minutes on different tasks, and every person has a different set of tasks. But on mine, I've got like finance, I've got strategic planning, I've got client relationship development, I've got external board work, I've got industry improvement work, things that I do at the industry level that improve our industry for our customers and for everyone that's in the space. We learned a lot. I learned a lot about my time, and this forced us to look at automation as a necessity, not an option. So the 2 years that we spent and using this cube to say, become self-aware of not just anecdotally, what am I doing with my time, but data-wise, because I just turned this cube over and it connects to my app by Bluetooth and it starts the clock on that activity. And then the next activity I do. So then I could see, oh my God, I didn't do anything more than 2 minutes at a time. Or you know what? I had a good 2 hour block and we don't understand where our time goes and you don't have much of it, right? Have much of it. You can't consume it needlessly or thoughtlessly. So this allowed us to kind of get some data-based context on what we're actually doing and then take away the labor-intensive things to create more space for that strategic work. That was really important for me. And to also say, why am I doing so much of this work? I need to delegate this and then start to work with my team members to see who would be willing and able to take some of those things on. So that's been a really big learning tool for us.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I love the how tactile that tool actually is as well, right?
Because it's easy to use. Yeah.
Yeah. Really neat. And just automating the connection and tracking of it all. That's cool. So it's something that I like to ask people. And so how long ago, I don't actually think I know the answer to this, did you start Prime Capital Group?
2000.
In 2000. Okay. So 22 years ago now. Wow. Okay. So if you could pen yourself a letter to your younger self 22 years ago when you were starting Prime Capital Group, what would be in that letter?
There would be things that I think I always believed, but maybe didn't do, didn't build into the structure of the business. I always had a policy of hiring forward. you're never going to be able to afford the people you need when you need them. When we needed to up our ante in our finance team, I knew we had to spend beyond really what our budget was. But I also knew the business constraints, there would be brackets on our business because we couldn't expand our capacity without this knowledge set and this talent. And we ended up bringing a really amazing talent on board who has allowed me to free myself from some of that work that was under my oversight. And that helped us contribute to growth because allowed me to get back to my highest and best use. You don't know how distracted you are. So I think that was something that was, I would have said back then, that's consistent with now, is hire forward and be bold about it. Be courageous about it. You won't regret it.
Yeah.
The second thing would be about yourself. You're never going to feel accomplished or confident. You might look confident. You're often not going to feel it making decisions, but you have to make them nonetheless.
Yeah, completely. And that's actually goes into the area of success, right? So what does success look like to you? And has that changed over the last 22 years? How do you define it yourself?
I don't think I had a definition for it other than maybe something that was more external. You know, maybe imagining somebody looking at me and trying to imagine what would I want them to see. Okay. So it's probably driven, you know, since then I've had, you know, raised two young women with my husband. And so that's an incredibly humbling experience. I think there's nothing more humbling than being a parent, and not just the responsibility, but realizing, you know, so little. You're so in your head as a human. And there's so much you don't know and you don't have access to that's in other people's heads. And communication is very difficult, right? And emotions are difficult. Yeah. So it's a very humbling experience, and a lot of personal growth can occur if you're curious and you're willing to look at yourself honestly. I think success is being able to have candid and intentional conversations and relationships. Being able to know when to let something go that's not working or serving you any longer, which means you are able to step outside of yourself and be very, very good at self-reflection. I think it's a hard thing to do, especially when we keep ourselves so busy as entrepreneurs. Self-reflection, we join peer groups, but is that self-reflection, or is that sitting in a group hoping to have people help you solve problems? Are you really getting down to the nitty-gritty and being totally honest about and with yourself? Because you'll get stuck. And the times that I've been facing the largest hurdles in the business, it was usually because I was stuck. I would say almost all the time, it was because I was stuck on something that I had to reconcile. So that self-reflection, super, super important, super valuable attribute if you can practice it.
Yeah. I'm curious, from a personal perspective, what do you find to be the most challenging aspects of being an entrepreneur?
Boundaries.
Yeah.
I think that may be true of many. I know some friends that seem to be much better at it from my vantage point. When we talked earlier about the calendarization, that's my mechanism for building boundaries, because I'm inclined to say yes to everybody and everything. I want to do all those things. I want to mentor everybody. I want to give my time to lots of causes and sit on lots of boards and contribute back to this community that's been so great to me. I've got a lot of payback. You know, people have paid their wisdom forward to me, and I owe it back into the community. But boundaries are a big challenge, and so I'm trying to use tools to help me set the boundaries to sort of fight against what maybe my natural inclination is.
Yeah, it is so funny, right? And I I know that of you because you're such a giving person, and you have, you're involved with so many things that are in the community. And so, yeah, sometimes, and I'm sure you get this comment all the time where it's like, how do you do it? How do you continue to grow this business at the pace that you're growing your business and still have time for all the other things that you're doing? It's remarkable. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I do hit the wall. There's no question. My poor, very, very compassionate, kind, and loving husband is becomes my rock. You know, when I get home, and he could just tell when I've hit the wall, and I don't want to talk. I just need to go into the backyard and walk around, or just do something really quiet. So I'm quite an introvert, actually, and so I do really need that recovery time. I just have not been always very good due to my problem with boundaries at giving myself that. But it takes its toll if you don't. So you have to guard that a little bit. Yeah. You can always choose when to walk over the boundary. You can still choose that. But if you set them, or if you get in the practice of setting them, you preserve yourself for maybe the things that are really most important.
Yeah. So now I know that you get on the golf course every once in a while to have a little bit of fun. I don't think you spend a tremendous amount of time out on the golf course, do you?
I haven't golfed much for a couple of years, just because it wasn't really working well with my hip. I used to play quite a lot of soccer. But now, I mean, what I do for activity and things, probably hiking, walking. My brother-in-law is getting us to learn pickleball, which is really fun. It's really fun.
I took it up over the winter as well, actually. So that's really funny. The biggest, you know, struggle I have on the pickleball court is the 85-year-olds that are just kicking my ass as I'm running all over the place, sweating. I'm just a puddle.
They're very strategic.
Yeah. That's there's a lesson in there, I think, for entrepreneurs as well. But a parallel. The reason why I was asking about the golfing is because if I could give you a mulligan, so a do-over on anything in those 22 years of your entrepreneurial career, can you think of something that you would have liked to have done differently and just to affect a slightly different outcome or maybe a dramatic outcome now that you have that retrospective perspective?
I wouldn't say it is a regret. I would say it's an acknowledgement of a choice that I made. It took us, the business is 22 years old. For the first 10 years, it stayed relatively small. That was intentional because a choice our family made for me to have our business at home. And then it became sort of a more difficult leap to go out and do that next stage. Mm. So since 2015 or 16, my husband and I sat down in about 2015 and I said, the kids are older now. I need to kind of put the jets on in the business and I need to be able to devote more time to it. We've made this arrangement where I would be more of the doing the home, managing this, going to the school council and volunteering and doing those things around running the business, which is really crazy days because I was still running a business. Yeah. But I was unable to grow it, mostly because I couldn't really, I was in a, I, darned if you do, darned if you don't, couldn't afford to hire anybody else, but couldn't grow the business to be able to afford to hire anybody. The first person that I hired that really made a difference, I said to her, I'm going to pay you my wage. And I won't take a wage, but I know I can replace that if you come and do this work that's holding me back. So that's where my hire forward philosophy came, because that paid off in spades. So I don't have regret about the business growing very slowly in the beginning. It was what the path was for my husband and I at that time.
Yep.
But I would say the flip side of that is without a great partnership and very open communication and somebody that was saw this as a joint effort, as a family partnership that we had to communicate about. We flipped roles. I started, you know, we moved the business out of the house. We focused on growing. We focused on acquiring funding. And he took on a lot of those responsibilities, you know, weeknight meals and those kinds of things. And I recognize not everybody has the benefit of that. People that are single parents and or for whatever cause took them to that place, very, very challenging. But
yeah.
I'm grateful for that. If I had a do-over around that, is maybe we would have talked about that a little bit sooner. Hmm. But it's hindsight, and I can't be sure.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with where we are now. It's gone. Yeah. It was the right decision at the right choice. And everything else, I'm really grateful for the mistakes I made, because I think it's made me a much better leader, better boss, right? Like that's a hard thing, being a boss. You are wrong so much, so often you're wrong. you make calls and they turn out to be bad or wrong, or you did unintended consequences. That's my favorite term. Didn't see those unintended consequences because I'm not omniscient, but I care a lot. So I want to improve. I don't have regrets. Just lessons that I brought along with me.
Yeah, totally. Well, thanks for sharing those. That's really great. Now, one of the things that I totally forgot to do was have you introduce Prime Capital. So what is it that you do over at Prime Capital Group for those people who don't know you?
Oh, I love what we do, because we get to help entrepreneurs drive their dreams into high gear. So any business that is operating now has tools of their trade. So if you, Lance, it might be your computer network and your technology. For a fabrication business, it might be plasma tables, welding machines. For a restaurant, it could be their cappuccino machine or their commercial ranges. We finance those things in really flexible, agile ways that don't hold the business hostage or, you know, take on too much security from the business where they can't really continue to be resilient to the changes they need to make. We work with entrepreneurs. We always have worked with entrepreneurs. It inspires us every day to become a better business so that we can serve our clients better. And I have countless stories of businesses that were tiny businesses with, you know, just a gleam in the eye of the business owner with their futures. I remember this one fellow who's in a different business now out on the East Coast, but he walked me around his empty shop. He had an empty shop.
Yeah.
And he said, this is where the plasma table is going to go. These are the welding torches. This is going to be a bay for fabrication and assembly. And he painted this picture for me. And we eventually ended up placing every piece of equipment in that space and watched him grow that business into a phenomenal organization that did some really significant projects around the city and up in Fort McMurray. So it's really exciting for us to see businesses grow and thrive where we can be a part of that journey, and all through being able to provide some agile financing.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful, and such a critical piece of the entrepreneurial puzzle that you guys really fill in there so nicely, and with the compassion and the respect and just the vision that you have, the purpose that you have. It's incredible. And so if anybody wanted to reach out to you, because there's a bunch of entrepreneurs who listen to this, what would be the best means for them to do so?
Well, yeah, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Our website is pcclease.com. That's Prime Charlie Charlie, LEASE. My team has heard me say that a bazillion times. and that comes from our original name, which was Prime Capital Consulting. So we just kept the PCC and added lease at the end, because that's our primary product is leasing. And pick up the phone and call us. We're based in Edmonton, but we do business across the country. I have clients in every province and the Northwest Territories, the Yukon. We're happy to just chat with you about what things are on your agenda and how we might be able to solution them, or maybe help you find a different partner that will work with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And cash is king. And we all know that in the business world. And so when you need access to some of that capital, or you want to unleash some of the capital that you already have so that you can grow, there isn't a better place to go to than Angela over at Prime Capital Group. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing some of your wisdom, some of your thoughts, and revealing a few things that, yeah, I definitely did learn a few things that I didn't know about your business.
Well, next time we have to talk about our blockchain business, which is really going to revolutionize the leasing industry. We're so excited about that. Business is called Ferrum, F-E-R-R-U-M, and we are pretty excited about where it's taking us. Nobody's doing this in North America yet, and we're building this into a global powerhouse. So that innovation gets me out of bed every day.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely have to have you come back and talk about that, because there's so much action in that space of blockchain, and how do you apply that? And so I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to hear your guys' take on it. So thank you again. Really appreciate it, Angela.
Thank you, Lance.
Yeah. And for those of you who enjoyed this episode, if you want to check out the other episodes that we have in the vault, you can head over to amplifyyourbusiness.ca and find them there. And obviously all the future ones will be there too. And if you enjoy listening to the audio only version, you can find us on any of the major platforms that stream podcasts. So just search Amplify Your Business and you'll be able to find us. Until the next episode, I hope everybody has a prosperous day.